Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing. Good morning. My name is Joe, and I will be reading the scripture today from Acts 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, Theopolis, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.
So today is Ascension Sunday, and I have to admit right off the bat that it's not one of the big Sundays in the Christian year. Did anyone even know that it was Ascension Sunday before this morning? Unless you read the flock note, I really would not have expected you to. There's no holiday from work tomorrow. I doubt any family members came in from out of town to celebrate Ascension weekend. No one is making a special dinner tonight with particularly buoyant foods. The mail will come tomorrow as usual. No disruption to the trash service. Ascension Sunday, again, not one of the big draws of the Christian year. But still, it's important. And in fact, it's very important from the gospel writer Luke's perspective. Luke tells about the ascension of Jesus both at the end of the Gospel of Luke and at the beginning of Acts. It must have been important to end one book and begin another with this account. And based on Luke's account, it was an extremely critical time of transition. After the resurrection, but prior to the ascension, the disciples were thrilled, I imagine, to have Jesus with them in this mysterious way, continuing to instruct and guide and encourage them. But even so, they still found themselves hiding out on occasion, unsure of what was happening and what the future would hold. They continued to ask questions laced with uncertainty. And here, right before Jesus was taken up to heaven, they asked, Lord, is this the time? Is this finally the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? They really, really wanted to know the next steps. What did God have in mind? What was on the agenda? How would this all go? But Jesus directed their attention away from inquiries about what God would be doing next, saying, that's not something for you to know, but this is what you need to know. You will receive power through the Holy Spirit and be my witnesses throughout the world. Jesus directed them toward the divine task, not necessarily as God's divine task, but rather their divine task, their next steps. In every which way, he sought to focus their attention on that, the divine task at hand for them. And then he was taken up in a cloud, and he was gone. And I have to imagine, after everything they'd been through, that staying focused on the divine task at hand posed somewhat of a challenge, to say the least. What a roller coaster they'd been on. They had been through the ministry of Jesus, his crucifixion, his resurrection. Acts tells us that Jesus stayed with them for 40 days and continued to teach them about the kingdom of God. Interestingly, it's recorded in Scripture that Jesus ordered the disciples not to leave Jerusalem, which makes me think that they might have been tempted to pack it up and go home to Galilee. After all they'd been through, a day on an old fishing boat close to family might have had a lot of appeal. But no, they seem to have listened. They stayed put, with Jesus' words ringing in their ears about power and the Spirit and the ends of the earth. They witnessed Jesus' ascension, reminiscent of the ascension of Elijah in Hebrew Scripture. And I can just imagine them, can't you? Gaping up into the sky, a little dumbfounded, left in silence with only the sounds of a bird or a bug or whatever might be rustling around them in the breeze. And then along came these two guys. Actually, they just all of a sudden appeared beside them. Clothed in white, they questioned the disciples, "Why do you stand looking toward heaven?" And really, my first response would be, "Are you kidding me? Why not? Who among us wouldn't be looking in that same direction?" It was a big deal what had just happened, and I suspect the disciples experienced a whole mixed bag of thoughts and emotions, perhaps leaving them momentarily stunned, transfixed, immobilized, speechless. Certainly they must have been surprised. Who could have been prepared for such a thing? I imagine they were in awe of what they had just seen. I would think that they felt at least a tinge of grief, knowing that Jesus was leaving them again, that he would no longer be with them, among them, in the same way. Perhaps they stood looking up, longing to follow him, to go now wherever he was going. In addition, I have to think that Jesus' parting words about them being witnesses to the ends of the earth must have been a little daunting. They were fishermen from Galilee. They were wearing simple clothes, sandals on their feet. Did we hear him right? Did he say ends of the earth? Huh. And maybe they just weren't sure if it was over. Like when you're watching a fireworks show, you don't want to miss the big last thing. Was there more? Should they keep watching? Was God going to do something else next? But the silence, their thoughts, their feelings, whatever was going on within them, was abruptly interrupted by these two guys. "Why do you stand looking up toward heaven?" Essentially, they said, "He'll come back the same way he left, but there's work to be done in the meantime. And you can't do it very well while you're looking up there." And I find these guys both comical and intriguing. They remind me a little bit of the two angels who appeared to Mary in Jesus' tomb. Remember, everybody had left and she couldn't tear herself away. She just kept looking back into that empty tomb until they said, "Mary, what are you doing? Why are you weeping?" And in that moment, she was redirected to Jesus, who was standing right before her. I think about those two angels at the tomb, and I think about these two guys, surely angels, right? These two guys that showed up after Jesus ascended, these helpers with words of direction and encouragement. What are you looking up there for? Maybe you ought to look over here. I think about those guys, and you know what I think? I think I could really use those guys in my life. Why don't those guys show up for me? Wouldn't that be great? Because I, like the disciples, like every human being, I think, get fixated, overwhelmed, distracted. I can get absorbed in my own sense of loss or sadness at times. I can be distracted by spectacular events. I can become paralyzed by fear or angst. I, at times, find myself standing still in life, just gazing off at this or that, whatever it is that's happened to grab my attention and energy. Sometimes it seems a lot easier to look up here, there, to gaze out, over, away, than to bring our eyes down to earth, to what is around us. Because sometimes, a lot of times, what's around us isn't entirely easy. I'm mindful that this past week or so, as we've looked around, we've seen images of mass funeral pyres in New Delhi. We've seen gun violence in so many different settings that it breaks our hearts. We've seen new waves of violence rip through the Middle East. We've seen illness, COVID, cancer, disease of every type. We've seen struggle. We've seen suffering. And it's hard sometimes to keep our eyes fixed on what's around us, on the divine task at hand in the midst of our messy, sometimes perplexing world. Some days it does sound easier, nicer, safer to just keep looking up. If Jesus is coming back that way, why not? We'll just keep an eye out for him. It's tempting, but being a person of faith, being a Christian, isn't a spectator sport. The disciples had those guys to remind them of what Jesus said, to turn them in a helpful direction, to jumpstart their get up and go when they needed a little extra nudge. And again, I have to say, it'd be great if I had those guys, if we all had those guys. It'd be a whole lot easier to live this all out, to stay focused on the divine task at hand as Jesus asked us to do. And it may be helpful to remind ourselves of what Jesus asked, what he instructed, because those instructions are applicable for those earliest disciples, but for us as well. And the first thing he instructed the disciples to do was to wait. In this time of transition, the time after Jesus was gone, but before the Spirit blew onto the scene, they were asked to wait. He told them to pause, to take a deep breath, to stay together, to pay attention, to lean into one another as they simply abided the uncertainty and not knowing of that time, to wait. And many of us know from our own experience how wise that advice is for times of transition. In hospice, we would always advise folks to be gentle with themselves, to not rush into decisions and actions and changes after the loss of a loved one, but to be in that in-between time, knowing that it's an unsettled and unsettling time, but trusting that the next steps will eventually become clear. We are in a very definite time of transition, as our world struggles to be released from COVID-19, as we regroup as a faith community, as we live into a new normal that is still yet to be determined. And so Jesus' words to wait, not rush, to trust the next thing, ring true and meaningful for us in this transitional time that holds both deep certainty, uncertainty, and profound hope. And the second part of Jesus' instructions was that when the disciples received the power of the Holy Spirit, they were to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. Luke Johnson was one of my professors at Candler, and he talks about how Jesus, while present in body, was available only to those he immediately encountered. But by way of his ascension, which paved the way for the coming of the Holy Spirit, he became present to many, a wide swath of people near and far through the work of his successors. That holy expansion began with those early disciples and has evolved, grown, to now include you and me. How wonderful. We become witnesses by doing our part as one member of the body of Christ in the world, knowing that there are many members near and far doing their part as well. There's a prayer from around the 1500s that's attributed to Saint Teresa of Avila, a Spanish nun and mystic. It sums this up well, saying, God of love, help us to remember that Christ has no body now on earth but ours, no hands but ours, no feet but ours. Ours are the eyes to see the needs of the world. Ours are the hands with which to bless everyone now. Ours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. And while we may not generally have two guys in white showing up at our side to offer clear directions about where we should be going and what we should be doing, we are by no means left without guidance. I'm hoping Tim, our art expert, will correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I read that many paintings and wood carvings of the Ascension not only show Jesus' feet sticking out from the clouds as he's being taken up, but they also show footprints on the ground around the disciples, almost as if the footprints are there, Jesus' footprints, inviting them, inviting us to follow as faithfully as we can, to step out and be his hands, his heart, his feet in the world around us. And if there's a day when we really need those guys or gals to give us a little extra nudge or encouragement or direction, maybe we can just be those guys and gals for each other. Not only figuring out our next steps, our divine task at hand, but helping one another as we discern that for our individual lives and for our lives as a community of faith. Thanks be to God for next steps, for always inviting us into a new day, another chance, the next thing, as we live and lean into the Holy Kingdom. Amen. Let us go to God together in prayer. Loving and gracious God, we enter the mystery of communion with you and with one another. We are grateful for time and space that reminds us of your divine presence and patterns in our lives. We open our hearts and minds and spirits, asking that you expand our capacity to see you and the ways that you are at work in our world. We are mindful that as we look around us, we see so much that is beautiful and hopeful and so much that is difficult and troubling. We hold both of these realities in our minds and hearts most every day of our lives. Help us to nourish and grow that which gives life within us and around us. Help us to be reflections of your light and love. Hear our prayers as we lift up people and places so desperately in need. We pray for loved ones known to us and ask that you bring shelter, healing, encouragement, peace, hope in every place of need. We continue to pray for the people of India as they are ravaged by COVID-19. We lift up all those caught in the crossfire of violence and destruction in the Middle East. We pray for others, unknown to us, but known to you, who are afraid or in danger or struggling on this day. In times of transition, give us the patience and courage to breathe, to trust, to wait when needed. And when the times are right for you and for us, empower us to be of consequence for your love and grace, your peace and justice in our community and in our world. Reassured by the knowledge that we are a part of a much greater fellowship, help us to do our part as members of the body of Christ. Continue to teach us what it means, what it looks and sounds and feels like to be the hands and feet of Christ in the world. Make us confident but humble as we seek to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, sharing who we are and what we have on behalf of you. We pray these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.